Hello, all sentient beings, and welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we talk about all news, comics, and media related to the Transformers. On this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode, we review IDW's Transformers number 5. A fan favorite comic book artist returns to TFCon Toronto 2019, and are the Decepticons infiltrating the U.S. Air Force? Today is Friday, May 17th, 2019, and this is episode 129. Of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that hopes Soundwave will let us join the Ascenticons. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how you doing?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, what's happening? Let's talk Transformers.
All right, so as always, we start off by thanking our Donatrions, those beautiful people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. And again, for the second week in a row, we welcome our newest member, Gavin. So thank you, Gavin, for joining the ranks of our Donatrions and supporting the show. We really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
You know, it just occurs to me, the last 2 weeks, we've gotten new Donatrions, and Yoshi hasn't been on the show in the last 2 weeks.
Is this a pokeroo type situation?
Maybe. If I knew what that was.
Is this another thing that we had in Canada that you did not have?
Yes.
Wait, what's the word again? Say it again.
It was a character on a children's TV show. His name was Pokeroo. One of the hosts would go away to go look for him, and the Pokeroo would show up, and the other host would be like, "Well, you gotta stay." It was called Polka Dot Door. Was the name of the show.
So it's like Snuffleupagus.
No. Snuffleupagus was seen by Big Bird and all the other characters. Pokeroo.
He was seen by Big Bird only for a long time,
really?
Until they realized that it might not be good to have kids, you know, not think they can tell adults about, you know, something that they've seen.
Oh.
I think we got off topic here.
We did. I'm surprised. This was a really good show. I can't imagine why you didn't get it. Oh, I missed him again. The one male host who never ever saw him, and you're like, he's just the Pokeroo. You missed him. Oh, you... Yeah. Oh, well. Fun childhood memories.
All right, write in. If you know what the hell Daryl's talking about, write in.
All the Canadians are screaming at him. I know what the hell he's talking about. That was a great show. Everyone else has no idea.
Our loss.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, what about buying some Transmissions merchandise? How about that? Just go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop, and you can access our TeePublic store. And you can get anything from that store to give us a little commission. And if you buy anything from TeePublic through our link, that gives us a little bonus as well. Also, check out the store of a friend of the show and awesome artist, K-Girl. And her store is at tpublic.com/user/superstarK.
You know,
so
Charles,
please check those out. Yes?
I have heard a rumor that we might have a new design on the shirt on the store sometime in the near future.
Oh, cool.
So if you're a fan of our Tape Man design, there might be a shirt in the same vein that our awesome editor Mike has worked on.
Something like a boombox man, maybe?
Yeah, maybe something like that. So we'll have to see. We're working on, like, Daryl had an idea for some final touches that we're trying to work through. But
that's right. But blame me for the delays.
Well, I'm not blaming you for the delays. I'm just saying that you might want to regularly go to transmissionspodcast.com/shop, see if something shows up.
Let's aim for maybe we can get this up a month before TFCon Toronto. So if people want to buy it, they can wear it to the show.
That sounds doable.
Maybe we want to wear it to the show.
Mm-hmm.
Why would we wear our own shirt to a convention?
What are we, lame-os?
I guess that's Yoshi's thought process, at least.
We didn't mention. Why are you bringing Yoshi into this?
Hey, I don't want to speak for him.
I don't know. I've never seen him wear a Transmissions shirt, so I don't know. It's a mystery.
His loss.
It is.
All right, let's start the show off, and we'll start off talking about some comics news. All right, first up, we've got another variant cover. This is for the upcoming Transformers Ghostbusters crossover. This cover is by Clayton Crane, and it's a very cool image. We've got Optimus Prime, Ectotron, the Ghostbusters fighting the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man and Megatron. Slimer's in there. It's a really cool image. Looks like Starscream's ghost there is blasting Bumblebee.
Yeah, it's a fun image.
So this is for issue one? I think it is. Maybe it'll... I've given up pulling Shelton's because they put out so many variant covers for these things. But I think we should change the name because I don't think it really should have my name attached anymore.
Nope. It's yours. If you still pull up and bring up Deckles, this is pulling a Shelton is yours forever. I want to comment on the artist, Clayton Crane. He is a really talented artist and has been doing like a lot of stuff from Marvel that I can remember, like that I've seen. A lot of the memorable stuff for me was involving the Carnage series, like Venom Symbiote Carnage. Mm-hmm. He basically was the entire artist on that series, a number of series, actually, like small little mini series, and his art style really fit that character really well. So, yeah, I'm excited to see him do some stuff with regards to Transformers. And the news story even mentioned that he's actually done stuff on Transformers before. So it's I've got to go back and take a look and see if I've got anything by him because I'm really happy with his stuff.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And if we had known about this before, he was at both Emerald City and C2E2. So I guess he couldn't announce it until now.
Too bad.
And another piece of news we have is if you were wondering what Alex Milne has been getting up to since the end of the Transformers universe last year, we have some information. So this V-Wars God of Death one-shot is coming out in June, and this was solicited back in February, but this comic has art by Alex Milne, so you might want to check that out. So if you're a fan of Alex Milne's art, I think we all are. You know, he does great work in Transformers. He does great work with humans and people as well. So this will show off his talents there. And particularly, I guess, a lot of blood with vampires and everything. So check this out. Yeah, I have not been reading or I guess V-Wars, and I guess it also has a Netflix show. Definitely check this out.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up. I am a huge fan of Alex's work, so I am really looking forward to seeing his stuff when it's not Transformers. You know, I've had him do some sketches before with non-Transformers involved, but it's really good to see him, you know, do an entire book where it's all like kind of dark and, you know, kind of it's a kind of horror, right? It's vampires, right? So we saw a bit of a taste of that with Rom versus Transformers. So I think if he was allowed to really let loose on this, this is hopefully going to be a really cool looking book.
All right. So check that out. We'll have a link in the show notes. So I think you've still got time to let your comic shop know you want a copy if you want to pre-order it. All right. Well, that's all our comics news. So let's move on to our comic review.
All right. This week we are looking at Transformers 2019, issue number 5. This is written by Brian Ruckley, art by Anna Malkova, pages 1-3. Angel Hernandez, pages 4-6, 8-9, 12-13, and 16-20. And Sarah Petra de Roche, pages 7, 10 and 11, and 14 and 15. Colors by Joanna LaFuente. Letters by Tom B. Long. Editors David Mariette and Tom Waltz.
Before we continue, what the hell is going on with the artists? Three artists on the same book? I mean, we've read this. Nothing seems to be calling to the point that like there needs to be three artists on this book.
Well, I think part of it is the schedule. I mean, doing it by month or bi-weekly is... Yeah.
Okay.
And I like how they actually did break it up by scene. So it's not like, you know, you have certain scenes with one artist, certain scenes with another artist. So it's not, it didn't feel too jarring to me, at least in the book.
Yeah. I mean, at least they did that.
Well, they have artists that have a very similar style. They all have very similar styles. So that's.
Well, they do. But like, you know, as we'll get into it, you have the Bumblebee scenes, and I believe that's Sarah. And then Angel Hernandez is doing the Rebel stuff. Animal Cova does this part at the beginning, I guess, where Cache Whitman had been doing a lot of this type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so Anna is a new name that we haven't seen before. But I mean, as we get into it, I thought her art was pretty good.
Yeah, she did a cover a couple issues ago. I think that was her first official work. She's a longtime Transformers fan artist who has recently gotten some professional work. So I think,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like when they have like a scheduling issue and they have like three pages that need to get done. You know, give someone a chance to break in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do like that. But then the major chunks, it does kind of get distracting a bit. Mm-hmm. But at least they did give us page numbers, which they don't always do, and I really appreciate getting page numbers.
Yeah. Well, I understand the schedule, and that can be horrific to try and do for an artist to try and pound out an entire book in 2 weeks, right? So maybe give one book, like have them one artist do every other book. You know, you could do something like that instead of changing the art style so frequently.
They essentially are doing every other book because they're essentially doing half of a book every 2 weeks.
Well, I understand that, but you have art styles that change within the same book. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We luck out with these three artists where they're all their art styles are very similar. Or you have two artists and Sarah's art, she's like a chameleon. She can change her art style with regards to any book, so she can match, which is fantastic.
It's not like we're going back and forth between, you know, someone else and Livio. That's a big jarring change.
It is. So, yeah, I'm just saying if you give one book to one artist, one book to another artist, and then just alternate between them, right?
Maybe even have the storylines do that too. I mean, have two titles covering the two different storylines. I don't know. That's a completely radical idea that I'm sure has never been done before. Right?
that would never work.
Never.
All right. Well, we're getting ahead of ourselves. Let's get into the covers real quick. Cover A is by Andrew Griffith and Thomas Deere. It has Optimus, Megatron, Starscream, Chromium, Bumblebee. And it looks like it's a propaganda poster where they're leading the way to Cybertron's future. Cover B is, actually, I have no idea who did this image because on our review PDF where they have the covers with the credits in the back, they had cover B from last week's or the last issue. So we'll have to wait until they let people know who did this. But it's an image of a Bumblebee looking a little spooked as Soundwave is lurking in the darkness behind him. And also, I would like to say in our image of this, like not in the actual review comic, but they give us images that, you know, websites can post. It looks like this image was superimposed over cover A because you could see like bits of cover A on the back. And I don't know what's going on there. Moving on, retailer incentive. This is Optimus and Megatron fighting in a classic Marvel G1 style battle. And this is done by Guido Guidi.
Mm-hmm.
Retailer exclusive cover. This is an animated battle between Optimus and Megatron. This is done by Adam Riches. And Charles, I believe you found where you can get this on eBay.
Yeah.
We'll have a link in the show notes.
Yeah, and apparently you can. It's exclusive to Vault Collectibles, and you can get it on eBay, and you can get it both signed or unsigned from the artist.
Cool. And they actually got approval to have the Transformers logo. It's still the modern font, but they have it colored in the classic style, which, you know, good job getting that approval, because I'm sure that was difficult. And then the last two covers
we did it too.
We did it under a previous regime, though.
Yeah.
The last two covers are the kind of photorealistic kind of takes on bots. And this time we have Swoop and Grimlock, one with Grimlock in robot mode, one with him in T-Rex mode. And I'm not sure who does this. There is, like, these are completely clean covers. There's no logos or anything on them. Again, there was no credit in the back of the PDF.
Looking on the TF Wiki from last issue, if it is the same artist, that artist was John Gallagher.
Okay, cool. John Gallagher.
And that rings a bell.
I believe, Daryl, you said Jimmers and some people on Facebook were getting these. Do you know if they're getting them off eBay?
I don't believe so. I think there's a site that they're getting them from. We had figured it out on the first or second issue, because they've been doing the same place has been doing these issues or these covers for all of them so far.
It's the Fellowship, according to TF Wiki.
It looks like that John Gallagher is at deviantart.com/uncannyknack. That's KNACK. Comic Mint. This is available from Comic Mint directly or at comic stores. So it might be something you can get through Diamond. TheComicMint.com. All right. So, Daryl.
Yes.
Which of these mini covers do you like?
I like Guido's quite a bit, but it also is one of those, you know, 35th anniversaries that it doesn't really showcase anything that's going on in the book. So with that, I'm going to go with Andrew's cover A. I really like it. So, okay. Yeah. Cover A.
Well, Charles, how about you?
I think I'm going to have to agree with Daryl. Cover A by Andrew Griffith and Thomas Deere. That's a really nice image. Really well done rendering of particularly the Siege characters. Like Orion Pax, I guess, and Chromia. Starscream and Megatron, and Bumblebee is not a Siege figure yet, and then the Tetrajets in the background, although I still think they look stubby without the, you know, the top fin, but but those that's a really nice image.
Well, yeah, I have to agree. I mean, Guido's is fantastic, but yeah, I mean, it this one more fits the book itself, although I'm still not a fan of what they've done to Chromia's head. I don't know. It just, it just looks weird to me. You know, I can't fault Andrew for using the model they want him to use, but yeah, this is a fantastic cover.
I think I'm still going to pick up that Guido cover if I can find it too.
Yeah.
That's a really nice one too.
Yeah.
Especially with the black helmet on Megatron, you know, the very, very early look. All right, let's get into the story, and this is part 5 of The World in Your Eyes. The story begins with Megatron speaking to Cybertron via a recording. He goes over the edicts that Nominus Prime has imposed on their society and points out the proverbial chain around the citizenry because of these rules. As this is being broadcast, Chromia is driving while getting an update from Sideswipe on some records that he was looking into. She wanted to know about energon distribution anomalies, and they found that nearly 200 people have disappeared since Brainstorm's murder, and they've only gone through a third of the records so far. And this shocks Chromia so much, she changes out of her alt mode. In his office, Prowl is talking to a pet pterosaur, or a creature that resembles a pterosaur, and he's talking about his work and the current investigation. He thinks he's got it figured out in searching for the scavenger, that he doesn't need to find the scavenger directly. He needs to go to the black market and find the people that would be dealing with the scavenger. Then we see Rubble, who has finished another session with Wheeljack. When he gets a call from Bumblebee, Rubble is being postponed again by his mentor and again gets an apology. With nothing else to do, Rubble begins to head back to his quarters. Wheeljack assures him that Bumblebee wouldn't do this unless it was very important. But this doesn't seem to reassure Rubble much as he heads home. And then we see in a derelict part of Cybertron, Bumblebee heads into a cave. As Rubble is on his way home, he passes a sanctuary for a species called the Aeovians. Their planet was destroyed by the Thrall, and this is the only place that their species survives. He then bumps into a Voyn that calls him a small Cybertronian. The Voyn gets away before Rubble realizes that this might be the same one that he saw on the night of Brainstorm's murder. Inside the cave, Bumblebee is meeting with Senator Soundwave, who greets him by putting a staff in the ground that prevents anyone from listening in. Bumblebee wasn't expecting Soundwave, as he thought he was meeting with Alita One. However, Soundwave is the one that's in charge of the Ascendicon's recruitment, and B isn't exactly trusted by them. He was in the security forces and has friends that are Autobots, but B counters that he doesn't choose his friends by their politics, and he sure he has a friend that's in the Ascendicon too. However, he's there because of Brainstorm's murder and the attempt on Megatron's life. Something is wrong, and he thought the Ascendicon's guard could help, and that he could also help them. Still chasing after the Voyn, Rubble goes deeper into the Xeno quarters of Cybertron. This is the area that houses all the non-Cybertronian life. He's about to give up and is trying to activate his communicator when he hears a crunch and sees one of the monkeys running away. Peeking around the corner, he sees the Voyn was murdered by Quake. Rubble isn't the best spy, though, and Quake quickly spots him. Rubble runs away while trying to get Bumblebee on his comms, but he gets through to Prowl instead, and he tries to fill Prowl in. However, he's not able to get much across as Quake catches up, and then it appears that Rubble goes offline. So that is Transformers number 5. We already commented on the art a bit, but I will say that particularly the beginning part with Animal Cova, I thought was good. Particularly Megatron, I liked, and I don't know, Prowl looked a little bit off from the recent stuff, but I thought that for someone doing their first work on the series, I thought it was good. Sarah's work, as always, is fantastic, and then I think Angle is improving. Like you said, Daryl, these artists seem to have similar styles, things blended, and I wasn't even thinking about the different artists as I was reading through this. Story-wise, it jumped from scene to scene very abruptly, and that did throw me out of the story a bit. I wish there was a better transition particularly between the Rubble Bumblebee things. Maybe do like some comics do where you have both storylines on the same page. You know, like the top being Rubble, bottom being Bumblebee or something like that. But I don't know. There's got to be a better way to transition between the two scenes. But the story did actually start to do some stuff. This is stuff that could have been done a couple issues ago, but things are starting to move. But like Charles, you said that this was the end of the story. It just didn't seem like the end. Nothing has been resolved. Nothing has been done. And it leaves on a giant cliffhanger.
We've had this 5-part story has been a part one and 4 middle parts. I mean,
I thought it was a 6-part story.
Well, I mean, this said the end, didn't it? It didn't. At the end of the book, it said the end of the world in your eyes.
Oh, you're right. I guess because Rubble was going offline, so we're no longer going to see things through his eyes. Maybe Rubble was the problem all along.
I mean, I think our complaints have been, I think, duly registered in the last 4 issues we've done here. But I just say it again, it's. We need stories with a beginning, middle, and end. I mean, again, everything in this book, like all the story beats, I think are interesting. I mean, I think mm-hmm. we, and this did move the story forward a lot more than the last three issues. So I guess that's good. But the problem is we had to wait three issues to get here. And yeah. I don't understand why we're waiting so long to get to this point. Like all these, like, I mean, what's particularly frustrating, like the investigation bits, like why are we looking at Prowl feeding his pet? Why don't we have a scene of Prowl like actually going and doing what he says he's going to do? Like we have this setup like, ooh, Prowl's figured out how to investigate the situation, but then we don't see Prowl do any investigating.
Yeah, don't talk about doing something. Show us them doing something.
Yeah, I mean, as the reader, we now know that Quake is the murderer, but we have no motive. We have no reasoning. It's just Quake is a violent guy. And he just kills things. I mean, that's not very satisfying.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they've introduced way too many mysteries without giving any resolution. And a good story that, you know, wants to set up long-term mysteries also sets up short-term ones that are, you know, resolved to kind of keep giving the reader that little, you know, how to say it, I guess just enjoyment that, okay,
yeah,
you know, I got something out of this, and I still want to see what's coming up to answer these other questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think comics should be treated more like episodic TV rather than like long form novels or something. You need each issue, each episode has to have an interesting story. You can't just have it be a bunch of things that make sense once you get the whole story.
Right. I mean, if you're going to do that, just release it as a graphic novel.
Right, exactly. You have to have a reason for people to come back every month that they're going to get a satisfying story, or, I mean, every 2 weeks, I guess, in this case. And I think we're not getting that here. Yeah, I mean, it's disappointing. I mean, I think there's lots of good stuff here. I just think the pacing is really bad.
I don't know. It really does seem like it was written for the longer story as a whole and then cut up.
I mean, the other thing with Rubble, I mean, the character of Rubble, I feel like it's either he's been given too much time, so that he's been given too much time for a character we're already killing off, or he's been given not enough time, so I don't really care that you kill them off.
Right.
I see the repercussions, because Bumblebee's going to blame himself for getting Rubble killed. Then he discovers that an Ascenticon killed Rubble, and that's going to, you know, cause him to rethink his path on trying to join the Ascenticons. And, you know, I see where, you know, at least I see interesting story beats coming out of this, but I just feel like, and then the other thing is like, okay, you built all this stuff up for Rubble, but then should we care about Brainstorm getting killed? It feels like right. Rubble's death is the more important death than Brainstorm's death.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just this disappointing is my takeaway from this whole five issue arc here.
Daryl, we were talking a little bit before we started recording tonight, and mm-hmm. Do you feel about the same?
Yeah, I do. Personally, I want to mention that I found the last three pages of this issue the most exciting that the last five issues have had. For me, if the writer Brian Ruckley has killed off Rubble, I think that's kind of ballsy. You introduce the guy in issue one, and you make him basically the center character of your new story, and in issue five you kill him off. I think
and
that's,
he's a complete innocent.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of ballsy. The hook for this series was that a single death would be the start of the war. You know, we get into this and we start issue one and we're like, Brainstorm's dead. Okay, well, there's your death. Well, maybe it's Rubble.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the pacing is horrendous. This has taken way too long to get to this point. if in fact Rubble is dead and it is the reason why the hostilities spark and it's the Great War starts, then I applaud the reason how he went about getting here. The main beats, like the main bits, the length of time to get here was way too long. Or he could have seeded other things in this along the way, made the parts 2, 3, and 4 more interesting. I still don't think there has been a single suspect on the list for Brainstorm's murder.
Yeah.
We have Prowl, Chromia, Windblade, and I forgot his name again. I did it last week too, or last time.
Sideswipe or Barricade?
Barricade, that one. So Barricade and Sideswipe, they're all out there looking and have come up with Bubkis.
Does anyone know that Quake exists?
Doesn't seem so.
Well, we had that scene in the a couple issues ago where Megatron presented the Ascenticon Guard, and everyone was upset that Quake was a member of the Guard because he had a violent past. Because
he was crazy. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
I completely forgot about that.
No one connected him to Brainstorm's murder yet.
No.
Last issue, we did have that scene where one of the ghost bots that was around Cyclonus mentioned that they saw a blue bot hanging around the transmission station where Brainstorm was killed. So there's apparently just, that was Quake.
Yeah, I mean, leaving clues like that, okay, that's a great thing, but there needs to be a little bit more connective tissue.
Mm-hmm.
You're introducing so many new ideas. The audience is not used to your style of writing yet, so be a little bit more on the nose at the beginning here.
Yeah. I would love for them to have introduced another character as a suspect, you know, brought off the top of my head, Swindle in.
Mm-hmm.
Swindle, we know you were in the area doing something swindly.
Yeah.
We like you for this murder, so we're going to have our eye on you, and you're definitely suspect number one, blah, 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 right? It could be a way to bring characters into the world that we haven't seen yet. Or we could have other characters on the, lack of a better word, because they're not Autobots yet, but Autobots, right? Bring them in and say, because we had Brainstorm's funeral, apparently he was a very popular character in the world.
Yeah.
Bring them in for the funeral and say, you know, whatever I can do to help, you know, let me do something. More stuff like that.
Even just have, like, you know, some comics will do and just kind of spread out either characters we haven't seen yet just commenting on the Brainstorm thing, or have like the characters being interrogated and just go through. They could be characters that Ruckley doesn't even have plans on using elsewhere, but just to get some familiar faces in there and just show that stuff is happening.
Like we had this, like he could have used some background characters to flesh out the Rise. Like they mentioned the Rise several times, this group of extremists. Name check a few bots who are members of the Rise and maybe get them, have some scenes where you interrogate them or something. I don't know.
Yeah. These are all great ideas.
Right. Yeah.
We're really good at this.
Well, I mean, Ruckley, like Charles said, Ruckley has a lot of good ideas here. The execution just hasn't been what we were expecting. The pacing is horrible.
I think this goes back to his background as a novelist. I think he's building a story, and this is what you would do in a novel where you drop things, and you know, if you're reading chapter to chapter, you don't have to resolve everything in a chapter. You just, because you're reading to the next chapter. But when you're releasing a bi-weekly comic series, you can't have chapters that don't go anywhere or drop things and don't have their own internal story resolution. You have to build in a resolution for every issue, even if you're trying to seed things for a larger plot. And I think that's the problem here.
I mean, I'm looking at the Amazon listing for the hardcover here. It looks like it does contain... Oh, let's see. It's not listing it here. I thought when we covered it on the show, it contains issues 1 through 12, which would be, you know, The World in Your Eyes plus whatever comes next.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that the official name of the next few issues?
Well, The World in Your Eyes is the name of the arc that we just finished.
Yeah. What about issues 6 through 12?
I don't know.
Is it called Whatever Comes Next?
No.
I had to really dig for that joke there. That was a lot of work.
Yeah, but yeah, so this does collect issues 1 through 12 of the new thing. I bet if you read this hardcover from cover to cover, it would probably make sense. All the ideas he's seeding here pay off. And if you're reading it in a single sitting or, you know, over a couple sittings, you are not going to have many of the frustrations that we have reading it issue by issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is the medium is an issue by issue thing. So we do need to have complete stories in the issue as well as the overarching story throughout the entire, you know, storyline. That's where I think a lot of our frustration is.
Yep.
I would agree. So question, let's not get crazy here, but the next two issues, where do we see things going here? Charles?
I hope tensions ratchet up with the death of another bot. I mean, especially a bot that like is apparently a baby.
Right. Well, so we don't know he's dead. Like it appears as though he's dead. But this is comics. Until you see a body, we thought Cyclonus was dead in the last one, right?
When that's true.
He took every single bullet and died just to appear fully functional the next issue.
But I mean, just to your point, Daryl, I do agree that it is a strong move to kill off this character. If he has in fact killed off Rubble, that is a really strong, a bold move to make in your story at the beginning. I conditionally I applaud him for that, depending on the outcome of next issue. But yeah, but I think he's either killed or critically injured, or he disappears because maybe they just get rid of the body or take him somewhere and no one knows where he is. And Prowl's like, "Where's Rubble?" Whatever happens, I hope tensions mount and things get a lot more dynamic next issue or next two issues. And I mean, hopefully, I mean, I guess the next question is the murder subplot, what's the resolution there? So, I mean, can we get some more information about what the motive was? Like, we know Quake's crazy, he likes killing things, but why was he out there? Why did he kill Brainstorm in particular? And
he needs to think that he's doing whatever he's doing, you know, because he's right and everyone else is wrong. But we need to know something.
Yeah.
What I think is going to happen is much like what you think, Charles, but I think that for one, since he was like communicating with Prowl when it happened, it's good because people are aware that something has happened to Rubble.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're going to just kind of be like, "Where's Rubble?" You know, Prowl is going to immediately start doing something, hopefully.
And he has a GPS, remember? They put the location tagging thing on him.
Yeah, so there's a nice payoff. But I think ultimately what's going to happen, I think everyone's going to think Rubble died. I think ultimately Rubble's going to become a Transformer we already know about. You know, over the years of Transformers, we're going to come across another character down the line, and it's going to be revealed that character was Rubble.
He's rebuilt and brainwashed into some other character.
Right. I mean,
something
much like we saw between like Beast Wars and Beast Machines, certain characters from Beast Wars turned into other characters in Beast Machines, and it was revealed throughout the show.
He'll become Pipes.
There you go. I feel like something like that is going to happen on down. I mean, I think that's a long term thing. Like for a long time, we're going to assume Rubble's dead. You know, things are going to get testy, and I think with Quake being associated with the Ascenticons, that's definitely going to be a key spark. And I'm just hoping things ratchet up in terms of pacing with the next issue. If not, I will be even more upset with the series.
Mm-hmm. Can we drop a book we're reviewing?
No, this is our responsibility.
We have to suffer for our art.
Yes.
For the art reread. Daryl, what do you think is going to happen?
I hope that he killed off Rubble just for the sheer balls of it.
Yeah.
I hope that somebody, likely Prowl, can get to the location as Quake is disposing of the body, and they can there's a fight, finally a fight in the book where Prowl is able to make a call out for some backup of some kind, and they're mm-hmm. able to take down Quake, and it wraps the entire series up in a nice tiny little bow, and we'll start something new. No, I'm kidding. But that it actually does get some kind of altercation. Then it gets traced back to the Ascenticons, and then there's much more tension. And yeah, so that's how I would like to see it go. Everything I just described would take place over the course of like 5 issues, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, I guess we will find out in 2 weeks what happens.
The schedule has been pretty consistent. So I think we've only had like one dip where we had 3 weeks between books, but it has been every 2 weeks for the most part for the last 2 months. So good job, IDW.
Yeah.
I think part of that is also bringing in people like Sarah and Andrew Griffith, known, like people that are known to be able to keep up with the schedule and, you know, draw Transformers, which are complex, bringing them back into the fold. Definitely, I'm sure, helped with the scheduling.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. All right, that was Transformers number 5, so let's move on to Transformers Media News.
All right, so we've got a fan sub of Beast Wars Neo coming out. This is the English subtitled edition of the 1999 Beast Wars Neo redone. If you've, you know, it's been floating around online for a bit, but it's now actually being included in a DVD box set. So
no,
well, I have no idea then.
You want me to talk about it?
Go ahead.
Because I downloaded it. Okay.
Okay.
So they took the DVD box set and this Kerry Udu fan subs on their own, completely, you know, fan created, did subtitles for the entire series.
Okay.
What they have on this link is, like, this AllSpark story has a link to a BitTorrent site or a BitTorrent download where you can get the entire thing. It's the videos, it's the subs. They have a bunch of extra stuff like some music and images and stuff. You know, we normally don't talk about BitTorrent stuff here, but this has been around, I mean, since 99, and personally, I have never gotten into the Japanese Beast Wars stuff because I wasn't able to find, you know, good quality subs. And from I've watched like the intro commercial that they included and just a very little bit of episode one, and I got the quality of the subtitles is good. Everything makes sense. The actual visuals, they like put over where it's doing the like the creators of the show, it puts over the Japanese, the English translations. And I thought that's really cool.
Good. Cool.
And there's even a reference guide in there that explains like cultural references and some translations and stuff. So, you know, if you're wondering why something, you know, they said something that just made no sense to you, even though, you know, it wasn't English, this would let you know this is culturally what this thing means.
I might download that then.
Maybe we can have a future review of one of these episodes.
I have the original stuff on a drive somewhere, but never watched it because I couldn't understand it. So now if I can, then yeah, there's no excuse, right?
Mm-hmm. No excuse.
All right. Well, that was the only thing we had for media news this week.
All right. Let's move on to some transforming pop culture.
In transforming pop culture, we have a story from the United States Air Force. They have an F-15C Eagle featuring not only a Decepticon symbol, but also it says Starscream under the canopy. Since I do believe that Starscream was an F-15 Eagle, this is proof that Transformers exist. But seriously, I think this is really cool. I'm not sure if this is actually used in like combat situations, but just the fact that there's an actual military airplane and they're able to put Decepticon logo on it, pretty neat.
Well,
I'm sure completely unlicensed.
But, yeah. Now that this picture's out there, you know Hasbro's going to send them a cease and desist, right?
Wow.
They can't have their logos and insignias, you know, on a war machine.
No, the Hasbro's not Volkswagen.
Oh, right.
Hasbro's probably fine with it. They're probably like, you know, tell us what else we can put our logo on. It's free advertising.
Can we send you different color paint to paint it up like the original toy?
Right. That'd be funny. Like the group, like the Blue Angels, they go around doing the air shows for the Navy. It would be neat if they, you know, could, you know, paint up some of their planes to look like the Seekers.
That would be pretty cool, actually.
So that is it for pop culture.
All right. Well, last thing is a tiny bit of convention news.
All right, and this is TFCon Toronto news. They have announced that Alex Milne will be attending. So if you get that V-Wars comic, bring it with you, and I'm sure he'll sign it. You know, he has done much, you know, much more than we can really list in his Transformers stuff here, but primarily more than meets the eye. Unicron, Rom versus Transformers. He does great work. I'm sure he's going to have prints and stuff for sale. So, you know, check it out. And, you know, I'm sure Daryl's going to try to get something, you know, some commission done.
Oh, I'll see about getting something.
Yeah.
He's a busy guy.
So, yeah. So that is it for convention news this week. It's a really light week.
Yep, and that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions Alt Mode. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
So next weekend is Queen Victoria's birthday, so we get Monday off.
Hmm.
Stay up late on Sunday. I will be available for that.
Okay. We don't get that off.
Oh,
we don't celebrate Queen Victoria.
Hail to the Queen. Us Canadians can throw a hell of a romp.
I thought Jeremy was going to do it.
Oh. I never actually said I would, but yeah, I would. I just kind of let it hang there when you offered it to me.
Okay, if you don't want to do it, now's the time to speak up.
My God, this will just be the episode where I talk through 90% of it.
What'd you say, Daryl?
I said he's funny looking.
That's the point.